I urge you, those who love God and His precious Son, that you pull up your bootstraps and then you look upward, because redemption draweth nigh. Please. Hold on to the blessed hope that we have in Christ Jesus our Lord. Praise God. Now listen, my friend. Troublesome times are here, filling men's hearts with fear. Freedom we hold dear, now is that stain. Humble your heart to God, safe from the chastening rod. Go where a pilgrim trot, Christian away. Jesus is coming soon, morning or night. Trumpet will sound, the Lord of the dead shall rise, the righteous meet in the sky, going where no one died, heaven was bound. Trouble will soon be o'er, then happy born evermore, when we meet on that shore, free from all care.
To the blessed hope of our Lord Jesus Christ. And one of these days, we're going to be everywhere. Praise God. One of these days, my Lord is going to come and get me. And I'm going home. Praise God.
All right. Wonder how that would have sounded a cappella. All right. That's my cue. I was going to sing. All right. Well, let's get Buddy up here. I'll let him sing it.
We're all going to keep singing 347.
All right.
347. Let's all stand. He keeps me singing. This one's a fun one to start off on the chorus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. You know, I used to, we used to milk cows when I was a little kid, and there was a few cows that wouldn't give milk unless I sang to them. And
amen.
What was a bummer was, you know, everyone claimed, well, that cow gives more milk if you sing in, Buddy, and, you know, she just waits for you. She's a little Guernsey, and she just, I used to practice songs and sing in this one. I used to sing this one all the time, you know, and it gives a good rhythm for milking cows, actually, you know. Jesus, Jesus,
that's
Jesus.
That's the kind of psychology his parents used on him.
No, that's why I'm the way I am today. Anyway, here we go. Jesus, 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 sweet.
Still.
beneath his sheltering wing, always looking on his smiling face. That is why I shout and sing, Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Though sometimes he leads through waters deep, trials fall across the way, though sometimes the path seems rough and steep, see his footprints all the way. Jesus, 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 sweet.
Soon he's coming back to welcome me, far beyond the starry sky. I shall wing my flight to worlds unknown. I shall reign with him on high. We'll be singing, Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know.
Amen. Brother Roger, lead us. Prayer, please.
Father, again, we are just ever so grateful for your many blessings. We thank you again for this corner that we can come, gather, sing praise, and hear your word be spoken.
Amen.
Father, quiet our hearts, our minds, that we would be attentive to what you've laid on our pastor's hearts. And Father, as we take up the offerings, we ask that you would bless it not only on this corner, but the mission fields we support around the world, and we will be careful to give you praise, honor, and glory. For it is in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Amen. Amen. This is what you call a quiet offering. Amen. <Yeah. laughs> Just have to think of that. I've heard preachers take quiet offerings, you know. That means they didn't want to hear the jingle of change in the offering plate.
The song Jesus, Jesus, Jesus was still going in my head. I don't know about you guys. Yeah. And this is to keep us mindful of who we are, God's creation, that He loved us. He loved us so much He gave His only begotten Son for us.
Amen.
We're about to partake of the sacraments. In Galatians 2, verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me.
Amen.
This song is, I then shall live. And track 5, if make sure. It's good. So this is a good time to think, to pray, make your soul right with God.
I then shall live as one who's been forgiven. I'll walk with joy to know my debts are paid. I know my name is clear before my Father. I am His child, and I am not afraid. So greatly pardoned, I'll forgive my brother. The I then shall live as one who's learned compassion. I've been so loved that I'll risk loving too. I know walls instead of bridges. I'll dare to see another's point of view, and when relationships demand commitment, then I'll be there to care and follow through.
Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me.
Let them
people said.
Amen. All right, we have communion this morning. If our ushers will come help us this morning, I want to read a couple of verses here for you. That Matthew records in chapter 26 and verse 26. They were in the upper room. Jesus was eating the Passover supper with his disciples. The Bible says that as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." And as we take of the bread and the cup this morning, we do it in remembrance of Christ who loved us and gave himself for us. Gentlemen. Our Lord Jesus, we take this little piece of unleavened bread this morning and we'll put it in our mouth and we'll chew down on it and we'll eat it. And as we do that, we will remember Calvary. We will remember your body, your physical body that you gave for us on the cross. That body that bore our sins and carried them away into the sea of God's forgetfulness, never to be remembered against us anymore. How we thank you for that. And we partake of this today, remembering that event in Jesus' name. Amen. This cup is a reminder of the blood that was shed on Calvary's cross for the remission of our sins. And as we take it today, we thank God for it. Heavenly Father, today we thank you for the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ that was shed on the cross for the remission of our sins. We can see it in our mind's eyes, the blood from his forehead coursed down his face from the thorns of the crown that was made out of those old thorns. We can see the blood as it flowed from the wounds in his hands, as it dripped onto the ground from his elbows. And the blood that came from his wounded feet, which were nailed to that old cross. This represents the blood that came from his wounded side when it was pierced, and blood and water came out. And how we thank you for that today, and our entire redemption, our entire future, our eternity rest upon that blood that was shed for us. How thankful we are today as we take this cup in remembrance of your love and your grace and your mercy toward us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. At this time, we have a guest speaker. We've been looking forward anxiously for this for an entire year. Brother Mason, would you come up, please? We're so thankful for this man of God whose life has reached all the way from the East Coast to the West Coast. God bless you, Mr. Preacher.
Precious Heavenly Fathers, once again, Lord, we come before your presence. We love you, Lord. We thank you for this privilege and this opportunity. Now, Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Lord, use me. Let somebody see Jesus. Lord, let not one person leave the same way they came in. Lord, have your way this day. Lord, we can do nothing without you. Have your way, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to praise the Lord for being here again. Like I said before, this is like a breath of fresh air. And I believe that every child of God, some things we miss. I don't know about on the West Coast, but I know on the East Coast, a lot of times we miss that encouragement. I think everybody needs to be encouraged. The only two kinds of people that don't need encouragement is the unborn and the dead. So I praise the Lord for just being able to stand in privy to give a little encouragement. And a song I know from where I come from. Seems like where I come from, this is another planet. I just can't help it. I can't help it. It's winter time. It's the middle of the winter time, and it's 7 degrees outside. That's amazing to me. I've never been in such a condition. That's totally amazing. I try to keep it quiet, but that's amazing. I say, praise God. Lord, you suck. The God we worship is somebody. He is really something. And I become amazed when I think of the goodness of God. How good he is to me. I'm standing here on the other side of this United States of America. And the Lord told us, he said, go into the world and preach. He said, preach the word. Be instant. In season. Out of season. And here we are. I thank God for you. You're a wonderful family in Christ. That's what you don't find on a lot of churches. You don't find family. You just have an amen section over there. Another section over here, like Paul was talking about in 1 Corinthians. It's schism everywhere. There's people with money there, and the people with no money there, and the people with a little bit of money here. And sometimes you wonder, say, Lord, where are we going with this? But I thank God for this. It's a song I've sang before. And so I think it's an encouragement song. I hear the a cappella this morning. That's all we do is sing a cappella. We have a choir that sings a cappella because the pianists don't know all of the songs. Amen. But the song goes, oh, I don't feel no waste time. I come too far from where I started from. Nobody told me that the road would be easy. I don't believe he brought me this far to leave me. No, I don't feel no waste time. I've come too far from where I started from. Nobody told me that the road would be easy. I don't believe he brought me this far to leave me. Through many toils and pain, I have already come. Nobody told me that the road would be easy. brought me this far to leave me. Amen.
Amen.
God said he'll never leave you nor forsake you. I tell folks sometimes, you're going to go through some storms. Storm clouds are going to come. And sometimes, I don't know why God does this, but I know he does. We don't want to go in no storm. Any person with a regular mind ain't going to want to go in no storm. Sometimes I believe God pushes you in the storm. No, he pulls you in the storm. But the one thing he does is, when he pulls you in that storm, he's right in there with you. And he takes you through the storm. Somebody said, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Without that night, there's no joy. What is joy? We rejoice with joy. You know what? I think we're going through heavenly practice. We're practicing for the kingdom. Somebody says it's going to be all joy, full of joy and full of glory. And I believe rejoicing is joy on top of joy. All the joy that we didn't share while we were here, he's going to make up for it. He says, I have not seen, neither have ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for us. In other words, you ain't seen nothing yet. I hate to use that kind of language, but for my memory, I love to use it. You haven't seen anything yet. God has something prepared for you. He says, so just hold on. Hold on. No matter what you're going through, no matter what it looks like, just hold on. Amen? God makes provisions for everything that happened in a child of God's life. I tell folk, ain't nothing happening in your life that's surprising the Lord. He knows everything that happened, but he says also, he says, and we know, see, not that we're supposed to know, not that we should know, not that we would have, could have known. He says, and we know, see, that all things, not 99.99 into infinity things. He said, all things, when the baby's crying and you don't know what's wrong, that's even working together for the good. That's why we have a family of Christ. A family, he says, in the family of Christ, when the least one is hurting, then all should be hurting. You see, God is building a family in Christ and love. See, I come from a place where the young folk, young men in particular, thinks love makes them weak. And I try so hard to teach them, love is a powerful force. Amen. Love is God. Don't let the devil steal your joy by trying to tell you that love makes you weak. Love is a process. You don't love all now that you're going to love. Okay? That's more love to come. The writer said, I love him. Huh? Because he first loved me. I would not know any love unless I was loved by Jesus. He loved you so much. I tell folk like this. Why does God use the word slave in the New Testament? You know why? We're slaves. Amen. We're slaves to Christ. I love to be a slave to Christ. Amen. When have you ever seen a master die for his slave? When have you ever seen the master make provisions and supply every need for the slave? Let alone die for it. When you ever seen the master rise again so that the slave would have a new name written down in glory? Amen. Hallelujah. That's something to rejoice about.
Amen.
We need to rejoice sometime. You see, I used to get up in one church I went to, and I like to tell folk about this, because God is everywhere. God ain't just here. He's everywhere. He never leaves nor forsake. To tell me, I get up in the morning, I say, I don't feel like going over there. And as much as I said I wasn't going, I'm getting up. I'm getting ready. And I end up there. And it's the best non-choice going I ever made. I don't know how to put it, but you know what I'm saying. Would you make your life a sacrifice to him and to others? Your love is not for you. You don't look in the mirror, oh, I love myself. That's not, love is not for you. Love is for someone else. See, this is the way we have to walk. I know a lot of folk can talk, but they can't walk. God says they have eyes, they see not. I know a lot of folk that know. Oh, they know so much. They know, no. They put the K in knowing. But they have no understanding. When there's no understanding, there's no rejoicing. There's only charisma. Charisma don't get you nowhere but tired. Put a little sweat on your brow. Tear up your shoes. But when you understand who this is we worship, when you understand the God that we serve, oh, it makes you get beside yourself. People will think you're crazy, but they'll see something. They'll see something. When you can set yourself aside and make your God the most important, he's high and lifted up. He's preeminent. And you know what? God has foreknown us. I know a lot of people have a problem with that. Not only has he foreknown us, he's predestinated us. Some kid asked me, said, how long have man been? Man have always been. You got to dig for these deep mysteries. It behooves you to look in here and see what God is saying. Sometimes we don't rejoice because we don't even really know what God is talking about. But when you get to the meat of it, woo, God said, let us make man after our image and our likeness. God said, let us. It was Jesus there. It was the Holy Spirit there. The Holy Spirit indwells you. Not only does he indwell you, you are sealed. You know, in the South, where I came up as a child in the South. During the summertime, we would plant gardens, you know, plant fruit, and we'd plant vegetables. And we'd have so much that we would seal it. We would can it for the winter. We had these mason jars. We would fill that mason jar. I would watch them. They would fill the mason jar up, put some liquid in it, and they'd boil it. It had a special top, and they would turn that top down. It had a packing in it. They would put it in hot water. You hear the top pop. That meant that that jar was sealed until you opened it up to use the contents.
Amen.
God says we are sealed like that. We are sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. Amen. What God has said, he'll never go back on. God ain't never changed his mind. And he never will. He never made a mistake. What change your mind for? He said we are sealed. How long are we sealed? That's an invalid question. You can't say, how long am I sealed? Eternity has nothing to do with time. You are sealed unto eternity. Amen. Unto, not until. That's why God calls preachers to tear that word down, break it down a little. You know when a little baby can't, he have no teeth, and you got a biscuit, and he's looking at that biscuit, he want a piece of biscuit. You got to tear it up a little bit. Give him a little peace. That's how God does with this word. Oh, this word is good. It's sweet. He says it's sweeter than the honeycomb. It's sweet. He's sweet, I know, because he's the word. And I thank him for that. Like I said, we need encouragement sometimes. We just need encouragement. I thank God for his predestination. I've preached that predestination in the book of Ephesians. In the book of 1 Corinthians, they're talking about in the book of Romans, he says, whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his dear son, that his son is the firstborn among many brethren. Jesus is your brother. You will conform in the image. Where do you see an image? What's the best place to see? What's the most accurate image you can see? When you look in the mirror. So when God looks at you, it's like looking in the mirror at Jesus Christ.
Amen.
God don't see Reverend Mason. God sees Jesus because I'm conformed to his image. You see? And then he said he predestinated us. Predestination, what does that mean? Pre means before. Destination is your destiny. Before your destiny. See, God don't work like man. God says his ways is higher than man's ways, even as the heavens is above the earth. Now try to touch the ceiling up there. You'll end up coming back where you were before you touch the ceiling. He said that's how high God's ways is, different than man's ways. So God predestinated you. God did your end first. And then he backed up and he made you. Amen. Sound funny, don't it? That's just how God works. When God says faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen, if a man said that, it would make absolutely no sense. That's why evolution don't make no sense. That's what he's trying to say. Faith. And a lot of folks say, well, I came to Christ. He said whom he did foreknow, whom he predestinated, he also called. We didn't call him. He called us. Hello, Reverend Mason. Come on. He came and he called me. I wasn't even thinking about it. I was out there doing something crazy. He came and he called. And not only did he call, he purposed for me to answer. That's why I lean on him. That's why the writer said, I can do nothing without Christ. See, the way you understand who God is understand your condition. When you understand your condition, we think, well, if I understand my condition, I'm going to walk around with my head down. And because when you understand your condition, then will you understand what God has done. You cannot understand what God has done until you understand your condition. He says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He said, there's none righteous, no, not one. But wait a minute, hold it. He has declared you righteous.
Amen.
Huh? Come on. Woo! Ain't nobody here know this, but oh, this is so good. I don't apologize. I know the Lord because he first knew me. I love him because he first loved me.
Amen.
Amen. So he predestinated you. He foreknew you. He said you were blessed. Were blessed before the foundation of the world. Now let me see if I can explain that. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. You were blessed before that. See how you were predestinated? See how you were foreknown? When God created the heaven and the earth, he did it for a reason. God created the heaven and the earth with each one of you and those that are not here and every child of God over the whole face of the earth. He had you in mind when he said,
amen,
let there be light. And there was light. God is the only one who can create. Man can make a mess, but man can make. Man can design, but he cannot create. Create means make, calling something into existence out of nothing. And that ain't no magic. That's creation. There is no evolution. Don't you let nobody tell you there's evolution. Evolution is a theory, no, a fact. Evolution is a fact that can't be explained. Excuse me. God says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. When you believe in evolution, there is no God. Somebody say God created himself. I'm so glad I'm not serving a God who created himself. Especially out of triple darkness. From a spot of blood. How far can you go? I serve a God that's eternal. I serve a God that is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I don't understand that. I don't understand that. And I know a whole lot of pastors and preachers and teachers and people, whatever they call themselves. They don't understand it. So since they don't understand it, they don't believe it. But I tell you what I do. And I thank God for this. I don't understand it, but I accept it by faith. I accept it. If God said it, he meant it, I'm just here to represent it. I'm a mouthpiece for Christ. I'm not trying to take no glory. Ain't no glory for me to take. I couldn't handle it if I had it anyway. I'd drop it and break it or do something with it. So I give God the glory. Glory to God. I just want to go through this scripture just a few minutes. I get excited. Well, we get excited about everything. We get excited about everything but the Lord Jesus Christ. And look at all that he's done. My God, do you see what he's done? Oh, I get excited when I have to talk about this. So you have to excuse me. No, don't excuse me. I just get excited. I praise the Lord for your pastor. Let me, I got to stop and say this. Pastor Wetzel. I almost said to him, you don't know who you are. I have I had an elder pastor. He was, I think, 88 years old. He just passed, about 3 months ago. He's the pastor we grew up with. I was 13 when I joined his congregation. We grew up there. This brother, he don't look nothing like him. Don't tell him I'm telling you this. He don't look nothing like him. And I got witnesses to let you know. This guy is just like Brother Reverend Turner. He preached just like him. Why you think my son and him is here? He called me one day and said, Dad, I found this church. Because y'all tell him, wherever you go, find a church. Because God says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. Don't be the some is. He said, Dad, I found this church. I said, oh, yeah, what's going on? What did he preach? He said, Dad, he was excited. Because nobody does this anymore. Huh? What the Pastor Wetzel does here, don't tell him I'm telling you this. What the Pastor Wetzel does here, they think it's old fashioned. They got to give the kids some kind of special trinket that they typed up from somewhere or another. Preach the gospel. Amen. This brother makes an offer of salvation. I'm acting crazy because it made me crazy. I ain't seen this in a long time. I go to places where everybody's rolling in the aisle and doing all kinds of crazy things for nothing. God says, my sheep know my voice. I know when you've been led by the Spirit of God. Okay? We got a lot of false pretenders in places where I come from. That's why this, I'll tell you why I say this. That's why this is a breath of fresh air. Amen. This brother makes the offer of salvation. Anybody here need Christ? I haven't heard that in a long time. But I talked to one pastor I was at the church with. I said, well, pastor, I said, why don't you at the end of your sermon, about 5-10 minutes, preach the gospel. Make the offer of salvation. He did. The people came up. He didn't know what to do. God says if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Amen. That's what this is all about. I went in one church, and I'm just telling you this, because I know you haven't seen this. I went in one church, and this guy had a $33,000 trinket on his finger. He made sure he showed it. And what makes, it was my brother-in-law church and my sister's church, and they wanted me to come and, you know, critique the church. So that's what we do. I would either tell them, get out of there. I told them, I said this before. When the pastor says, turn to the book of Genesis, and he's the last one to find it, you don't belong there. It's time to go. Amen. But this fella, I've seen so many churches. I used to preach all over the place. Different churches. There's millions of churches in Philadelphia. I used to preach at a different church when I went to Bible Institute, the Bible College. Every we'd preach night service. We'd preach two night services. And that's all I would do. Preach Christ. And can you imagine how much of a reminiscence this is? You don't have too many people who preach Christ. They preach about Abraham's toenail. Mm-hmm. What kind of head do Isaac have? Why Pharaoh couldn't take off on his trailer or whatever it is. People don't preach Christ. The Bible said this time would come. But one thing I know, God has always, Old and New Testament, He's always had a remnant. Mm-hmm. That's that song we sing, "Oh, I want to be in that number." Let me tell you something. Everybody who's talking about heaven ain't going there. You're going to be surprised when you get there, and everybody you thought was going to be there ain't there. Then just be glad you are.
Amen.
Amen. See, God is not moved by your action, what you do. God is not going to ask you what you did with the money, what you did with your car or your house. God is going to ask you, what did you do with Jesus?
Amen.
What did you do with Christ? You see, God says it's appointed to every man wants to die. Then the judgment. You're going to be judged when you stand before the judgment seat. It's not going to be how you did this or did you go to church. Oh, you're going to lose rewards. But do you have Christ? That's the beginning. You got people who say God can save you, but He can't keep you. God can save you, but you can do something to lose it. They'll say in one side of their face, God built this church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And on the other side of their mouth, they'll say, you do that and you'll lose your salvation. Don't you raise your child with that. God said we are saved by blessed hope. The hope is not ours, but it's alive.
Amen.
We're saved by what has already been done and it is finished. There's nothing else to do to be absent in the body. Before I got here, the Monday before I came, I left Tuesday. I did the eulogy for my brother. I had a brother who was a child of God. I didn't know we had that much family. The place was packed. The children came up and sang. We come from a singing family. I'm trying to get him to sing back there. But we come from a singing family. And the Lord has blessed us. And the little children, four little grandchildren, came up and sang a song to their uncles at their uncle's funeral. And they sang the song that he likes. It was such, I had never seen a home going that good. The funeral home's theme is miss me, but let me go. Amen. I tell you today, it seems like it comes a season where folk die and go to the Lord. I want to encourage you today. Miss them, but let them go. There's a place far better than this. This is not all there is. Oh, there's multitudes more, if I can say that. That's just for my limited vernacular. Praise the Lord. Turn in your Bibles. Let me shut up. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Samuel. Now, we want to do it like this because I want to hurry up and be done. Put your finger there and turn to Ephesians, the 6th chapter. You got your finger in 1 Samuel? Now, put your finger in Ephesians, the 6th chapter. And turn back to 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter. When you have it, say amen. Verse 3, and the Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He was 9 feet 9. And he had an helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam. And his spearhead weighed 600 shekels of iron. And one bearing a shield went before him. Now skip over to verse 37. David said, "Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine." And Saul said unto David, "Go, and the Lord be with thee." He said, and Saul armed David. This is very important. Saul armed David with his armor. Say armor. He armed David with his armor, and he put a helmet of brass upon his head. Also, he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, "I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them." And David put them off him. Amen. And he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. Now we all know the event here. Amen. We know this is when David slew the giant. He slew Goliath of Gath. David was a young man. Somebody say he was about 17 years old. He had went to the battlefield just to take his brothers, his older brothers, some food, some victuals, and some water. And just so happened, when the battle was put in array with the Philistines and the Israelites, just so they would fight in places that were not similar to places of today. They fought one side of a hill and the other side on a hill, and there was a valley in between. When they would put the battle in array and they would come down to war, they would come down into this valley. Whoever won the war in that valley, that's the ones who left the valley. Whoever lost, stayed. Amen. Now this giant here, he would come out on this mountain on the other side, and it was the tradition long then for a champion of one side to come out and challenge a champion of the other. That way the battle would be over quick. So just so happened this giant, Goliath, he would come out, he would challenge the children of Israel to send their champion to meet him. And just so happened David was on the battlefield. He was peeping. You know, like young folk do. They got to see everything. He looked and he saw this giant coming. God had already given him the 5 smooth stones. He saw this giant on the way. He met this giant. Who are you supposed to be? Don't you know you challenging the very children of the living God? This is what we need to do. David went by Saul. Saul and them were scared. They were chicken. They were scared of this giant. Philistines, Assyrians, and the Babylonians were the biggest war machines back then in those days. If you read that Bible, you'll see how bad they were. They were bad guys. Beat everybody, you know. So Saul stopped David. He said, "David, listen here. Put my shield, put my armor and stuff on." David put them on because Saul was a grown man. He put them on and he essayed. The Bible says he essayed to go. Essayed means he struggled. He pulled. He tried to go with all of that mess on. And he couldn't. He said it was not proven. God didn't give him that to go with. I say to you today, whatever God gives you to go with, take everything else off.
Amen.
Go with what God gives you. Stop putting other stuff on. We'll get into that. But here, he told Saul, I can't put this on. I can't wear this. See, a lot of us, we put on man instead of putting on Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Some of us, we are instructed. I keep saying I come from places. Because like I say, this is a breath of fresh air. I come from places where folk put on man. Oh, your man, your manliness. Folk put on man. I say, put on Christ. You're saved. You're a child of God. Put on Christ. So David went up to this giant. He called him some names. And the Bible, just to make a long story short, David slang one of those smooth stones. He put it in the slang and he slanged it. Now, let me ask you a question. Why did God give him 5 smooth stones? To explain this is, Goliath was a picture of the enemy. You know who the enemy is. He was a picture of the enemy. Look who he used to defeat the enemy. He'll use you. He'll use a child, a 17-year-old. He had 5 smooth stones. And I like to tell folks this because I found that. God gave him 5 smooth stones because Goliath had 4 other brothers.
Amen.
That's very, very important to know. You'll see in a minute. But what he did, he slung that stone. Why was the stones smooth? See, we don't ask these kinds of questions. I tell my children, I say when you're young, I tell them the most irrelevant things, when you get older, becomes the most relevant. The smallest things becomes the biggest things. I don't know why it happens like that, but I know that it does. I'm an old head now. Like David said, I've been young. I'll leave it right there. Amen. But David, the smooth stone, why were they smooth? What is the chance of a smooth stone sinking into a 9-foot-9 giant skull slain by a 17-year-old sinking into, what is the chance of a smooth stone sinking into his skull? I'll tell you why those stones were smooth. Because God did the work.
Amen.
David slang the stone and there was power in it. You have power. We need to stop tiptoeing around. We got power.
Amen.
You just have to use it and don't take the glory. Now, here, turn over into Ephesians 6th chapter. Now remember that giant, he symbolized the enemy. Not only that, something you have to see here. The giant wasn't by himself. When we look at this scripture, we always put the giant, we always put Goliath there by himself. He wasn't by himself. If you think the enemy is alone, you're going to miss who's with him. There was an armor bearer that went before that giant. And if it wasn't for us to take notice of that, it wouldn't be there. God tells us to know our enemy. I know people won't mention devil in the pulpit. That means you're afraid. When you fear the enemy, it's because of a lack of faith in the friend. God is your friend. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Amen. Look what he says here. Ephesians 6, starting at verse 11. He said, put on the whole army. Remember that armor that David was offering? That's not what God gave him back then. But here he says, put on. Put on. When God tells you to put on something, it's a command. God never asks you to do anything. Why? Because he's God. You are his purpose. He says, put on the whole armor of God. Let's stop right there. Why does he say the whole armor? He didn't say, see, we misquoted. We said, put on the armor of God. He said, put on the whole armor of God. You know what it means? What it means is to take your armor off. We take God's armor and put it over our own armor. We come into church naked, about to fall. Take your armor off. Take off self, push self aside. A lot of times we mess up spiritual things because there's too much self in it. He says, walk in the spirit as not to fulfill the lust of the flesh. The lust of the flesh don't just have to do with sex. It has to do with personable personality. It has to do with a lack of pride. It has to do with pride, arrogance. Take that off. Until you take it off, you cannot put on the whole armor. Now the armor, remember, is to protect you against the enemy. I'm trying to encourage you. He says, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against what? The wiles, the stratagems, the strategy that Satan uses. God says in 2 Corinthians, Satan is transformed into an angel of light. Do you know there's people in the pulpit look better than preachers? Sound better than preachers? Because he says, and don't be amazed by, for his ministers is transformed into ministers of righteousness. I've seen this. Satan ain't out there in the world tearing everything up. That's his. He's in the church. He's in the church. That's what this armor is about. See, when you come into church, God is already here. You know why? Because you are. We sing that song, God is already here. Can't you hear? Can't you feel his presence? He's already here. When you come, if you're the only one that comes in, he's already here. Amen. Amen. Now we just glorify. He says, put on the whole armor of God. He says, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, you got to understand what he's saying here. This is a lot. So I'm going to finish it up. God didn't say run. He didn't say walk. He didn't say go give the devil a black eye. He didn't say pull the rug out from under. He said stand. You see? When we receive instructions from the scripture, that's obedience. It's a time, like Ecclesiastes, the 3rd chapter. He says, to everything there's a time. To every purpose there's a season. There's a time to stand. What it is for Christians, all we have to know is what time it is. And you don't have to look on your watch. Look right here. I tell folk the only time we have is right now. Use it. Because time can be your worst enemy or your best friend. I look here, I come here, and I see time has been a lot of everybody's best friend. You can see the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God ain't something that's hid. People think the Spirit of God is some smoke that comes down and harbors in the corner till you do something, a dance or something, and it jump off on you. No. You bring the Spirit of God in here with you. Amen. So he says here, now check this out. What David did was physical. The Old Testament is the law. Most everything in the Old Testament is the physical. It's the looking forward to the spiritual. In the Old Testament, God would tell the prophets. God would take a prophet. One prophet out of the whole tribes, all 12 tribes of Israel, like Ezekiel. He would take him, he would fill him with the Spirit. Cause him to speak to the people. They would either, he told Ezekiel, they're not going to obey them. They're not going to hear you anyway. But speak. Tell them. Amen. Tell them. Whatever it takes, tell them. You see? So in the Old Testament, it was a physical thing. It was material. You stole something wrong, they'd cut your hand off. That was the law. You killed a man, they'd kill you. You got found doing something really bad, they'd stone you to death. Here he says, The reason you put on the whole arm of God, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. I'm not your enemy. You're not my enemy. None of us are any of our enemies. We're the best we got. He says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. We hear that all the time, but nobody actually knows what it means. It's Satan's generals who have the oversight of entire nations. This is what God is telling us. This wasn't happening years and years ago, but this is out of prophecy. It's fulfillment of prophecy. So what God is doing, he's protecting us against all of these things that are happening. But you got to put on the armor. Now, he says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rules of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. He says in 13, wherefore, take on the whole, there's that whole again, take on the whole armor of God, that we may be able to withstand in the evil day. Now, when is the evil day? If you wasn't here when they wrote this, the evil day is now. I'll say that again. If you weren't here when they wrote this passage, that evil day is now. So what should we be doing? We should be putting on our armor. Now, I'm going to finish. What is this armor? See, God gives us instruction. God tells us what to do. He gives us the wherewithal to do it. And all we got to do is get it done. He said, a lot of times we have not because we don't ask. Lord, help me with this armor. Show me how to put it on. People don't talk to God no more. Amen. Talk to God. You don't have to tell God what he said. He already knows. Lord, my foot hurts. Lord, I don't know. I can't walk. Lord, help me. This is what God loves to be talked to. God loves to be praised. Oh, God, love for you to act crazy when you talk, when you call his name. Amen. We act crazy about everything else. We act crazy about a car tire. When you call the name of Jesus, something happens. Because he's on the inside. Let him work in you. He says here, he says, what is this armor? He says, stand therefore, in verse 14, having your loins girt about with truth. Everything in your life hangs on truth. Nothing hangs on a lie. You know what a lie is? A lie is nothing. A lie has nothing. A lie is nothing. But why does it have such an effect? Why? Because it's spiritual. A lie that is spiritual. God says Satan is the father of a liar. You ever seen Satan? He's spiritual. That's why the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. We try to get spiritual effects from fleshly deeds. You can't do it. That's why God says, walk in the spirit. Walk in the spirit. You don't have to worry about all this. The devil can't do but so much. God has him at bay. You know why the devil is so busy? Because he know he's defeated. You know why he's ever more so busy? Because he know that we know he's defeated. Glory to God. This is a God we serve. Ain't nobody like, he said there is none like him. Hallelujah. There's none like God. He says, girt with truth, have it on the breastplate of righteousness. Let your light shine. Let your light so shine that men might see your good works. You don't even have to do nothing. They see the work of Christ in you. Men see things spiritual. You got to be spiritual for them to see spiritual. Let your light so shine among men that they might see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. That's bringing folk to Christ. They see. I've had folk come to me. Heaven makes y'all still doing. Because we have street services. I say, wait, yeah, we still doing it. That was 20 years later. I say, glory to God. I can't take no glory for that. I thank God that he accounts me worthy just to say a word in his name. He says here, he says, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, he said, preach the word. He said, be instant, in season. You can wake up Pastor Wetzel out of his sleep 4 o'clock in the morning. He'll stand up here and preach the word.
Amen.
God don't call somebody he don't prepare.
Hmm?
He'll preach that word. God tells us to do the work of an evangelist, every one of us. You can't evangelize a person that's already saved. We got to see, win the loss at any cost. Win the loss. That now is the time. You know the gospel. It's what saved you. Glory to God. He says, above all, taking the shield of faith. The shield of faith protects you. It protects you from all of the negativity, all of the junk that people throw at you. It'll bounce right off. And then he says here, above all things, taking the shield of faith. And then he says, wherewith you shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. And in closing, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. Here in all of these tools that God gives us for our armor and everything we put on, this is the only defensive. This is the only defensive weapon. The Word of God. The Bible said the Word of God is quick. The word quick out of the Hebrew text means alive.
Amen.
Alive is living. That's why you're a living soul. You're a living soul on your way to glory. He's quick and powerful. You can put all before that. Because in the context, he just said powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword. Any other two-edged sword. There's other words. There's other words that they call swords. But he said this is sharper than any two-edged sword. Huh? Piercing. Even dividing asunder between soul and spirit. You ever seen the soul over there and the spirit over here? Only God can separate the soul and the spirit by his word. And it separates the marrow from the joint. You got to cut the bone open to get to the marrow. But God can separate the two. And then he said it's a discerner of the intents, of the thoughts, and intents of the heart.
Amen.
All he's saying is make sure your heart is right. Your heart is right, your armor is on, stand. Amen? Just stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Let all men, preach to men, make them at peace with themselves and others. The first two commands. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. Then the question remains, who is my neighbor? You can answer that. Look everywhere. That's your neighbor. God tells us to love one another with a pure heart. Protect your heart with your armor. The heart is out of which comes the issues of life. God put it in your heart to tell somebody else how to live. Not just to live, but to live forever. Eternally. Amen. Put on the armor of God. He says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Pray for yourself, but pray for others. Pray for my family. We just lost one of our 11. It's 10 now. Oh, you miss them? You're going to miss their presence. But knowing where they're going, knowing where they are, that's the comfort we can take in knowing where they are. Now, I always do this, and Pastor Wetzel didn't say anything when I did it before, but I'll do it again. Is there anybody here who don't know this Jesus that we talk about? God is not a respecter of persons. Bible says you must be born again. When God says must, it's a must. You better believe it. He said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's two kinds of context of sin in the Bible. There's sin, S-I-N, and there are sins. For our sin, Jesus was crucified. He suffered and he died for our sin, S-I-N. He rose again for our justification. And I tell the young folk, justification means just as if you had never sinned.
Amen.
He covers your sin every whit and he makes you whole. Sins, even with your sins, in the book of 1 Corinthians, he said, First John. We have an advocate, Christ the righteous. When you sin, see, people think that grace is for after you sin. No, it's not. Grace is to keep you from sin. Amen. Grace is our security. The Bible don't teach anything about eternal security. No, non-eternal security. That's the devil's way of twisting the word to trick us into just delving into the tenets of denominationalism. Anything other than what God has said. But he says, everyone, every man, woman, boy or girl, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He didn't have a daughter. He didn't have two sons. He had an only begotten son. That whosoever, you can put your name there, whosoever believe, just believe it. Believe that Jesus came into the world, he died, he rose again, and is exalted at the right hand of the Father, and is on his way back. If you believe that, he said, you are saved. I always say, you don't have to get up out of your seat, you can just raise your hand. If you need us just to pray for you. I don't speak that well, but I love to pray. Amen. If there's anyone, I didn't think so. Praise the Lord. Precious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. Thank you for this, your people, Lord. Thank you for this great edifice. Thank you for the under shepherd of this church, oh God. Thank you for all the people. Thank you for the moving of your spirit, oh God. Lord, continue to encourage us. Continue, Lord, to help us, Lord, through this journey, this Christian walk, even through the storms, oh God. Mayhap we go, Lord, mayhap we come through this storm, oh God. Help us to see, Lord. Help us to see that morning. You said weeping may endure for a night. Give us the joy, Lord. The joy of you, Lord, is our strength. Help us, oh God. Get us in your word. Teach us, oh God. Give us knowledge. Give us wisdom. And in all you're giving, Lord, give us understanding. Lord, that we might know that Jesus is Lord. Now have your way, Lord, in the rest of this service. Do of thy good pleasure. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Shall we stand together, please? We're going to take a moment to give an invitation this morning because somebody's heart was touched through this message. I know that. And somebody out there may need to come and make things right with God. Whatever it is, God is dealing with you. Will you come? Somebody needs to be saved. You come today and make it public profession of faith in Jesus. Accept him as your personal Savior. You need to come to join the church. The invitation is open for you. Whatever it is that God lays on your heart, will you come? What's our number we're singing?
553. 553.
553. Just a moment. And then we'll let you go. But somebody today needs this invitation.
I am weak,
but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk. Let me walk close to thee. Are you walking with the Lord today? Will you come?
Closer, walk with thee.
appreciate your being here this morning, and certainly we appreciate Brother Mason's message that he brought to us. Our evening service will be at 6 o'clock this evening, and we'll invite all of you back to the service at that time, and we'll have a good message for you. God will bless your heart for being here. Hope you have a pleasant afternoon as we're dismissed in prayer. Brother Zimmerman, would you lead us, please, in our benediction this morning?
It is to be called sons of God. Thank you for calling us. Thank you for predestinating us. Thank you for walking with us. Thank you for never leaving us nor forsaking us. Guide and direct us, Lord, now as we put on the armor, and let us go out and wage the battle that you've called us to wage, and make a difference in the lives of the folks that we come into contact with, for your honor and for your glory. All these things we ask in Christ's holy and precious name, and for his sake, amen.
Amen. Amen.